Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player.
This is Scheman and Shepherd.
That boy's good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Scheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Greetings and hello, friends, on this Hump Day Wednesday. Glad to have you along. You know the deal. We're here. We're live and local in your backyard for the next 4 hours, 2 to 6 every weekday. Tell your friends on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. I am Craig Scheman along with Pete Shepherd. That's why we're the Scheman and Shepherd Show. We got Chris on the other side of the glass as well. Raider Nation is knocking. Men, can I get a knock on wood? Men! Knock on wood.
You gotta be careful. Let's shut the computers off in here.
I could. Yes, that is from Hard Knocks. Again, we shall discuss. I think we all watched it this morning.
Yes.
And then Pete decided he needed to tweet AB's feet to me while I was eating breakfast. Thank you. That was disgusting.
Well, just in case you missed it, it was.
What'd you have for breakfast?
Just a simple bowl of Cheerios with peaches and blueberries today. And
that's not a simple bowl of Cheerios at all. You spiced it up, in fact.
Absolutely. Good. Absolutely. It's very
a piece
nice.
Of toast.
Yeah, toast is boring.
It was.
You know.
I had an avocado.
Just an avocado?
Just an avocado, a little salt, a little pepper.
Just an avocado.
I had a shrimp dish last night with avocado.
Avocado,
puree. Oh,
very
my God.
Underrated.
It's
so versatile.
Delicious.
Well, yeah, it is. It is good. I've never had one like just plain.
I mean,
I've always sliced one on a sandwich or had a dip where I'm dipping chips into it or something like that.
Yeah.
Never just ate a plain avocado.
I got to say happy 60th birthday to my good friend Jim Blakesley. We had an awesome celebration. Second one. We had a surprise party Saturday. That was the tough one. To keep him out at the golf course / tiki bar afterwards while his wife set up the whole damn thing, but it was worth it. Then we had a real party. Another party last night was just as fun. So congratulations, Jim. Happy 60th, buddy.
Well, while you're doing it, I got to one-up you. Happy birthday to my father today.
Oh,
I was
going
to wait till the end of the show, but I mean, wow. I mean, happy birthday.
I'll update all of you. Happy birthday, Magic.
Johnson.
I'll one up you on that. Happy birthday, Tim Tebow, today.
Really?
Fact.
Wow. What a day.
It is a great day. I had a story yesterday I did not get to, and we will get to Hard Knocks and all the latest news on the NFL.
And
I wish I still had it.
Chris has issues.
Well, let me just...
Yeah, after that.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll get to Chris's issues. And I wish I had the story
this
with
is new
it.
To
there
me.
Was, there's a lady, and talk about birthday parties. And your friend, who's 60, reminded me of little children, because I know when my kids were small, we had to do, like, not just one, not two, like 3 birthday parties. You had to do a birthday party with the school kids. You did a birthday party with just the family with the birthday cake and the presents. You had to do another one with the Boy Scout or the Girl Scout troop or so. It just never – you got to go get the jump castle for one of them. And I saw this story – and, Chris, you're about to dive into this phase of your life, too. Maybe you already have. Maybe your kids get multiple birthdays. But
my wife does, yeah.
Chris gets multiple
birthdays. No, nope.
I saw a story from a lady. I think she was over in England. I don't think she was an American. She was charging $85 to everybody who was coming to pay for all the expenses and the hoopla at the party and was asking for gifts on top of that.
Poor form.
Yeah, that was very poor form.
Poor form.
But your multiple birthday party.
Well, we had to set up the one last night, which was only 9 of us. We had to set fake that was going to be the real party so his beautiful wife Kim could fly in his boys from New England so they could be at the party Saturday on time and set that up and have it catered and everything. Otherwise, it would have all been for naught.
Wow.
So,
yeah, but
it was excellent.
It was like a decoy.
It was a decoy. And when you're out on the golf course, and we played late. Late for us is like 11 o'clock, but we had to get done by 3. And then so we get done about 10 past 3. It was overcast Saturday. Now we're like, you know, I know she wanted us there between 3:15. Well, that wasn't going to happen because we got to get him a drink, and we can't make it obvious. And we're literally right around the corner from his house. And we just had a take, but then she's texting me. I was like the wingman. Okay, anytime now, because like 35 people are standing, including the two, so they're standing outside waiting, and everybody's filming it as we're going in. But finally, at 3:40, we got him out of there, got it done. We got him. I will say this, we got him.
You had a lot of responsibility during all this.
He's a very, very hard person to fool like that. And we got him, so.
All right, good job. Successful mission. Now, you mentioned just a moment ago that Chris has issues. Is this related to his upcoming scheduled vasectomy Friday?
No, really.
Because that's an issue big enough.
I don't know if it's an issue. I think it's funny.
It is a big issue.
I think it's good for the show, but as you told us the story a little while ago, but it's Chris Beasley household, it's a very informal household.
Very.
Why? Because they pee on the floor?
No, not that.
No bathrooms required.
No.
Just pee on the floor.
No, there's no mommy and daddies anymore.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
My 3-year-old's calling me Chris and my wife Sam.
This is the same 3-year-old that dropped his first public F-bomb yesterday.
Yeah.
Before preschool.
Yeah. Well, it was... that was yesterday morning.
Did we...
It wasn't public. It was in the household.
Public meaning that his mommy and daddy heard him drop an F-bomb.
Yeah, Chris and Sam heard him, exactly.
Who knows how long he's been doing it to his little brother.
So tell the story, because that's a funny story. What he did to your brother.
Let me pull up the actual text message. I got a text yesterday during the show. Hold on a second, let me roll through here.
By the way, it's Maureen McCormick, Marsha Brady's birthday today, along with Halle Berry.
All right.
So that kind of ups there, Maureen McCormick.
Got a text yesterday. This was at 5:31 p.m. from my wife. Something just happened between the 3-year-old and the 10-month-old. I didn't see. I asked him what happened. He said, "Don't worry, nothing bad." Then my wife followed up the question with, "Tell the truth. What did you do?"
Yeah.
He looked at her and said, "You'll never know, Sam."
Oh, that's got a dark side to it. That's got a dark side.
That's a Chris side.
You'll never know.
Every time that kid speaks, I feel like it's like Chris is channeling. He's channeling Chris.
It's mini-me. It's Chris's mini-me.
There's no doubt.
I could see him developing into a little smart, cute little smart aleck kid. I could see it happening.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's on his way.
Well, and like I always said,
quickly on his way.
About Bill Cosby, and when he did himself before all the other nonsense, but he's like, the mother's curse works, which is, I hope someday that you have children that act exactly the way that you acted. And this curse works.
It's real. It's real.
Can't wait. All right, before we get too much later, it is 7 past the hour. Let's get this Dog and Pony Show underway. Time for a SportsCenter rundown. Here's Chris.
Wow, walked it right up to the post there. Liberty first-year coach Hugh Freeze is away from the team while undergoing treatment for severe back spasms. Uh-oh. The 49-year-old has been unable to attend training camp practices since Sunday. Ohio State University is seeking a trademark for one of the most commonly used words in the English language. The trademark would be for use on clothing and hats. According to the U.S. Patent Office and Trademark Office, the filing was made last Thursday, and a full slate of baseball today, 9 day games across the country.
I believe they pronounce it the.
I don't care how they pronounce it.
So why do they get to copyright the and if and or but or any other simple word?
They don't, and they'll never get it. They're wasting everybody's
time.
Poor
job by Ohio State. Typical.
Focus on something important.
Yeah. I don't know what that'd be right now. Maybe your first game.
Beating Ohio, Michigan 5.
So what? Like anytime you have the word the on...
The Ohio State?
No.
That's their thing.
I don't care that's their thing.
I'm just telling you.
It's spelled the same way. I'm going to say it the way I say it in normal conversation.
Well, you would say the for some things and the for most.
The real... I agree with Chris.
You can't trademark the word tomato, but not tomato. It's spelled the same way. It's the same word.
Well, yeah.
It's the same thing. It's very annoying.
It's very pretentious to say the instead of the. Right?
Say the U. Like the U.
Why don't
Miami
they?
Says the U.
No. Why
doesn't
Miami?
Minnesota says the U.
Why doesn't Miami get the letter U copyrighted? Then when we do the alphabet, we only get to say 25 letters instead of 26.
Great math.
Minnesota says the U too. A lot of state schools say
Minnesota
the U.
Calls themselves the U?
Yeah.
I've never heard that, and I'm a Big Ten person.
Really?
That's shameful of them.
The hockey team used to, at least.
Oh, that explains that.
Well, they won more championships than anybody else at that school.
Yeah, but no.
Isn't that Minnesota Duluth?
No.
Yeah, it's Duluth.
University of Minnesota, Golden Gophers.
I'm challenging.
No, they used to, all those kids used to say the U.
Well, they're wrong. They got no way. That's Miami. If anybody says the U, everybody immediately thinks of Miami.
I agree with that. I'm saying, but there are other universities around the country that refer themselves to the U, but Miami, absolutely, that's what you think of, without a doubt.
Mm. All right, so let's start with Hard Knocks, because apparently... apparently, peeling off the skin of a feet is now a circumcision, according to Antonio Brown. It says, my feet are circumcised. They're all new.
Let's start at the beginning. I actually have a Hard Knocks.
I got a rundown.
I got a Hard Knocks, but I got a Hard Knocks whole notepad.
I got a rundown. I got a full page.
I take copious notes. From last episode to the, so I just keep them.
I like when... John Gruden gets antsy and starts yelling at players. I like that being the fly on the wall. He opened up the show again by focusing on him. I just, this time it was fake, though. He's sitting there welcoming the guys to week two, and then a switch goes off on Chucky, and he starts dropping F-bombs.
Practice with better etiquette and effing execution.
Out of nowhere.
Fake. I
mean, he went from 0 to 60 in like 3 seconds.
Time to stick a foot up someone's butt.
Yeah. I mean, granted, I like it, but that just seemed fake. I wonder how that played to the audience.
He started the speech, then my favorite part was when you go, we are the who? And like, you almost have to turn the volume up and put closed captions here. The Raiders. He goes, we are the who? And...
Yeah, but Pete, they did it without even hesitating because they know they're coached to do it.
No, but it wasn't like the Raiders. It wasn't like the Raiders.
Yeah.
I was like, what? Okay, I get it. Unbelievable.
I like
my favorite Antonio Brown quote, and we'll probably hear it, is after he unveiled his sock with either it was a sock lint or a piece of grass that was sticking out.
Please
of one
tell
of
me
his
it wasn't
cuts.
Skin.
I don't know. I think it was sock lint or whatever it was.
Whatever's dangling was gross.
And then afterwards he showed his feet and blah, 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 and said, feel sorry for me later.
I won't feel sorry for
I
him
don't
ever.
Humble. Sorry for you at all.
He's not humble.
He is humble.
He is not.
No.
He's the opposite of
I'm and so and torn I, on Antonio Brown right now.
Well, I think that injury is a lot worse.
It's not even day to day with me anymore. It's morning to afternoon.
Yeah, there were three different stories.
I'm doing my wide receiver fantasy football video yesterday, and I'm putting all my stuff together. Yesterday morning, Antonio Brown firmly planted in the stiff arm category. We're going to stay away from him.
Yes.
By yesterday afternoon, I was back on the AB train. So this guy's a wide receiver one. He's going to get touches. He's going to get looks.
Yes.
I don't know what to think about the guy.
I think one thing I do.
You're perplexed.
One thing you know with watching Hard Knocks is that John Gruden is extremely frustrated. I don't think he's expecting him. He could say all he wants. He's going to be ready for week one. Well, this would be a good poll question today. Who has a better chance to play week one, Antonio Brown or Andrew Luck? I think that's a good poll question, don't you? Which we'll get into that.
I like it.
I think it's a very good question. Do we want to throw Zeke in there because it's a different situation?
Let's throw Zeke in there too. Good point.
Okay.
Let's throw all three in there.
All three. Who's most likely to play week one?
Yep.
We know Melvin Gordon's not going to play week one. So we can
right now, I put Andrew Luck at the bottom of the list. Antonio Brown is a close second.
Might be with you.
I think Chris Ballard let the cat out of the bag yesterday, which we'll also get to in Sound Street.
Yeah. The injury
a lot of
worse.
Praise for Jacoby Brissett. There's a lot of Jacoby Brissett. It sounds an awful lot like Andrew Luck may not be ready. Not only for week one, not week two, maybe week three.
Yeah. It's not looking good at all. So, yeah, well, more details on that as well.
Getting back to, you had Rod Martin. Oh, you know what I thought was interesting, Hard Knocks? About a quarter of the way in, Rod Martin, the head trainer, going to John Gruden on the sideline during the joint practices and explaining exactly, the update of Antonio Brown, and Gruden was just pissed. Yeah. He just like could chew neutronium. You could see it in his face.
Chew what?
What?
Neutronium.
What's neutronium?
Yeah, that's a stupid Star Trek term.
I was going to look it up, but it's not real.
It's not real.
It's a big, yeah.
Petroleum?
Petroleum,
no,
I've heard of that.
Chew petroleum.
That's one of, but.
No, neutral.
You could in shale like form.
It's a metal. His head looked like it was going to explode.
There you go.
There. Then he also got mad.
That's how he looked when Mike Glennon was running with the ones.
Have you ever seen a worse first, a more disjointed first practice? And it's amazing the Raiders won the game eventually,
right.
Which he played better, and Glennon played better in the game, than only because of that scramble maybe, but those interceptions he threw were pathetic in the game. But the disjointed practice, not all his fault, a lot of drops in that practice, but that is not a leader. Glennon is not a leader.
No, in fact, he told him, you're too lackadaisical, happy-go-lucky.
It was Peterman that had to scramble.
A nice scramble for about 60 yards or something during the game, but I want to see the guy throw, not run, because he got smushed.
We've seen him throw. It resulted in 5 interceptions in the first half against the Chargers.
They showed that on Hard Knocks last night.
And once again, it was towards the end. I can't believe I'm saying this. He only had a little cameo this week. The most sane, articulate person out there, Richie Incognito. Because there was a pretty big scuffle going on between the Raiders and the Rams. A scuffle.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Richie Incognito very calmly pulls one of his teammates aside from the Raiders and says, "Hey, I'll tell you what I learned in therapy." And he says this, right hand to God, count to 10. He says it, but he sounded very articulate and sane.
Hold on. Pete Shepard, a month ago, if I would have told you that Richie Incognito would be the calm, mature, veteran voice of reason of the Raiders camp, how discombobulated do you think the Raiders camp would have been?
I think
you were expecting it to be a little discombobulated to begin with. Yeah. But if I added that little caveat and said Richie Incognito is going to be the team leader and be cool and calm, what would you have said one month ago?
I would have said you were nuts.
I thought he was going to get cut a month ago.
Because 1 month ago, I thought he was going to get cut. He's going to miss the first two games of the regular season already. But Richie Incognito, the voice of reason on the sideline.
So the two most sane voices that we have in sports really right now, Richie Incognito.
Don't say it.
And O.J. Simpson.
O.J.'s been spot on. No new Twitter today from him. My favorite line from practice, though, was when they accidentally hit Derek Carr in practice, got the red jersey on. And he says, "You got to protect the merchandise. Can't let the quarterback get it, man."
My favorite one was either on Glenn or Peterman, and Gruden goes, "How the bleep do you screw up a snap count?"
I enjoyed the flashback to when McVay was
an assistant.
That was great.
That was awesome.
The piss boy. Piss boys.
That's
what
to say that again.
Yeah, I guess you can.
Please.
It's a medical term.
This is an HBO, and no, it's not a medical term.
It's slang for errand boy, and it was great.
That was pretty cool. See that he had that job, and the way Gruden said it, a couple weeks in, he looks over and he's
wide receiver.
He's with the wide receiver coach,
right?
Helping put in game plan.
You know who I'm starting to really like, and I don't know his name. The defensive line,
Mad
coach.
Max Crosby. Fourth round pick out of Eastern.
Michigan. No. You're not hearing me. The defensive line coach.
Brent Buckner.
I
like the way he talks to the guys.
I agree.
Spin that into the Eastern Michigan kid who broke his hand trying to knock a ball out, and they had to put a cast on. He'll make the team. I like that guy. I like him a lot. He's tough. Is he first rounder?
Fourth rounder. Yeah.
Okay.
Got to be smarter than that.
So he's got got a nice cute girlfriend following him along.
Rachel
got the broken
Crosby.
Wrist, and put a plate in there for 4 to 6 weeks. We saw Mike Mayock talking to him afterward. "Hey man, got to stay in it mentally. I drafted you. Don't make me look bad."
Eric Weddle, safety for the Rams, towards the end, going up to Carr. He's like, "Where's AB at?" And Carr's like, "I don't know.
Man.
I don't know where he's at."
Why did they give Jonathan Abram number 24? I thought Charles Woodson. I thought that's a number you wouldn't.
And Charles was there.
And he was there.
Looked
fantastic, by the way.
Looked like he could play.
What did he play, 18 years? Seriously.
He's a beast. Beast.
I mean, this might be another good poll question. When you see Charles Woodson, do you think of him first as a Raider or as a Packer or as a Wolverine? What comes to mind first? That might be a good question today, too.
Yeah.
I think he did about equal time between Oakland and Green Bay and was great at both.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And the other, they had Hunter Renfrow. They had a little karaoke thing where the rookies were singing a song.
Played 18 years.
They had to say how much they were making. Hunter Renfrow, right? The kid from Clemson.
18 years, 17 playoff games.
Yeah.
It's a full season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's
19
years, yeah.
Let's put that on the poll. How do you think of him? As a Raider or a Packer Or you can put a Wolverine in there, too, for Michigan. So
I won't spell it right.
I know that, but that's okay. We know what you mean.
And the wide receiver from Alameda, that was a great story. Doss, right? That was a great story. He caught the touchdown pass.
Yeah.
By the way, that Glennon throw to him to catch that pass, was it Glennon or Peterman? I forget.
It was later.
It was towards the end.
I thought it was Peterman.
But I don't know how he got that pass. It was only about a four-yard pass. A little quick slant.
Quick dart.
But it should have got deflected. It didn't. But anyway, that was a great moment because that kid was from Alameda. Undrafted, right? Undrafted, rookie free agent.
Yeah.
From his hometown and gets that. That was a nice moment.
Glad to see radio announcer Brent Musburger dressing up for team meetings in his Hawaiian shirt and Raiders baseball cap.
Norm in the summertime from Cheers, except for a Red Sox hat. He had a Raiders cap on.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
So, and what was the other part? At the end of it, you had Mayock giving classic rap inquiries into
some
players.
That was weird.
That was very weird.
Fake, and I didn't believe one word. That was for the cameras.
Yep.
That was so fake.
Yep.
Mike Mayock giving rap advice. He doesn't know any of his rap. He knows less than you and me combined. Did I say that right?
No.
Well, I mean, I know some rap. Pete knows none, and Mike Mayock knows none.
I know
none.
A lot. I just,
when you say you know some rap,
right?
What do you mean?
like I could recognize
Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre,
fact. Put in my boy Eminem. There's
right.
three classics
so
right there.
Three.
Jay-Z's running the Super Bowl halftime show now. There's another guy.
Triple X.
Well, he just made
that up.
There was a rapper who just died.
Really?
Triple X Tentacion or something like that.
Suge Knight. Tupac.
Not a rapper. Producer.
Producer of rap.
Yeah. Really just a criminal.
Right.
He didn't get out, did he?
No.
Good. Okay. I was going to dump that if he did get out. Well, I don't want him running over me at a strip club parking lot.
The other Gruden quote.
Allegedly.
The other Gruden quote that I loved was at the end, time spent, value received.
Got to put your time in, Pete Shepard.
What inspiration.
You got to put your time in. You can't just show up here and do a radio show. You got to put your time in. That's what that means.
You put my time in.
I know.
But Brent,
that's why we're the highest rated sports talk show in Southwest Florida.
Brenton Buckner, the defensive line coach, who I love, like as you pointed out, because he was very instrumental. In the first episode, that was with Ronald Ollie, the kid from Eastern Mississippi that was on Last Chance U that he told to get the hell out.
Beat it, kid.
Get out of here. So, yes, I loved how he talked to every defensive lineman and, you know, trying his very best to get them in sync. But like, I think there were, you know, a lot of stupid penalties the Raiders had. And I think Gruden was right when he says better etiquette. Better etiquette means don't wreck the merchandise.
That's right. Can't do it. Can't take any risks. All right, if you saw it, we'd love your comments on it as well. 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. We still have a lot more other NFL news to get to. I'll tell you what Bill Cowher said.
DMX?
Oh, DMX, yeah.
That's a lot different than Triple X.
You got one letter, right?
I don't know.
X.
Thank you, Craig,
for the letter he got correct. I don't know if anybody picked up on that.
Got to help everybody along.
Oh, and it was number 60 on Magic Johnson's best movies of all time. Triple X.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
He went to that yesterday.
Because, you know, he did it alphabetically, so obviously Triple X would be.
He put no time into it whatsoever. That's all I'm saying.
Unless he put Zootopia on there. Triple X was doomed from the beginning.
That's true.
I got the two poll questions are up.
All right.
At 99.3 ESPN Radio. When you see Charles Woodson, what do you think? What do you think of first, Raider, Packer, Wolverine? And who's most likely to play week one? Ezekiel Elliott, Antonio Brown, Andrew Luck. Go.
All right, so we'll have all that. I'll tell you what Bill Cowher said, how he would coach AB if he was in the game today. Oh, and a very grisly analogy by one Jerry Jones regarding contract negotiations.
Oh, we have to read. Do we have that on audio?
I don't have the audio. I was going to read it unless we can find it. We'll come back with that. It's unbelievable.
Yes, it is.
Sheeman and Shepard just warming up on a hump day Wednesday on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Follow the guys on Twitter at PSHAP26 and at Craig ESPN. This is Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
big pimpin', baby.
What do you say? Pimpin', baby?
Big pimpin'.
I know this song.
Feel me.
Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Who sang it?
Wrapped
it, whatever.
I mean, I know the tune. I don't know.
Hold on, I know it. It's like Wikipedia. I gotta get the TikTok clock going. I don't know who this is. Who is this, Chris?
Jay-Z.
Yeah, that guy.
Oh yeah.
I get street cred because I mentioned him last segment.
Good grief! I knew you guys were full of it.
He's producing the halftime show.
I know the tune.
Daylight Dollar Short with an excellent question. Are rap and hip-hop one in the same? Chris?
No. You can combine the
two. Give me an example of why they would not be.
I feel like hip-hop is more pop.
Okay.
Like more mainstream.
Yes.
Especially now. Like rap has gone really far away from like mainstream. Like if you want to get down a deep rabbit hole and rap, you can get to stuff that you've never heard of before.
Like really horrible stuff.
No, I mean, it's not bad. I mean, there's clearly a market for it because it sells out places.
I heard a fact a long time ago that I don't know if it's true anymore or not, that white consumers buy more rap music than African-American in this country. White teenager is what buys that.
You might be right.
Stammer time with back-to-back text, cringeworthy radio guys, and then solid work, LOL. There's another one in here.
It happens.
Dolphins nostalgia texting in. Craig, do you walk around your house saying fact to your family? As a matter of fact, I do. No doubt about it. All right.
Honey, ease up on the salt. Fact!
That's exactly what I was going to use as well.
Really?
Lay off the salt. That's, I don't know
Missy
why.
Missy fluffed my pillow.
Fact! No, you're using it incorrectly. It's not to bark out orders and then follow with the fact. It's to say something where I'm correct and then back it up as fact, even if it was questionable in nature. Bill Cowher was asked how he would coach somebody like AB. Of course, Bill Cowher, former Steelers coach for 15 years, gave a real fluffy answer. First of all, he said, I think we know too much about Brown. It's obvious he likes the attention and likes to get his name out there in the media. That is a fact. But he didn't really answer how he would handle him. He kind of softballed in the way that John Gruden is softballing AB and going easy on him publicly and defending him. Are all coaches like this?
I think to this part.
Let's talk about the hoodie. Would the hoodie handle it? Why would the hoodie handle AB? Would he cuss him out? Would he softball it? Would he have TB12 talk to him?
It's difficult because that situation's never happened to him. I don't think he'd get into that situation.
We saw what happened when a diva wide receiver started to show his divaness in New England.
We're talking about Randy Moss?
They shipped him out of town. Yeah. What was that, week 4?
Yep.
Had a great touchdown pass against the Jets, I think, on a Monday night football game.
Yeah, I think it was opening night.
And then he was traded the next week, wasn't he?
Yeah. He started to.
Was it Tennessee he got traded to?
Yep.
I don't remember. Yeah. Randy Moss's career just petered out.
He started to, I don't know.
No, he started to.
He had to go back to his old ways. He was taking plays off.
That's it. He started.
You knew exactly when the ball wasn't going to him because he wouldn't.
He started to show his divaness because in the 07 season, it was.
He was phenomenal.
It
was old Randy Moss. 07
and 08 too, and Matt Castle. He was real good.
I mean.
Yeah.
But
it was the reason that we finally had a quarterback throw for 50 touchdowns in a season. It was Moss.
The real disturbing part of, and I watched Hard Knocks from 7 to 8, and at 8 o'clock on tape delay, I watched the first hour of Pro Football Talk. And Florio brought it up to Chris Sims immediately, which is what we brought up yesterday, that pathetic softball, bubblegum, fluff-a-nutter press conference that was held with those reporters. And he kind of reiterated, Mike did, exactly what we're talking about. And the problem with journalists today or people who are beat writers, everybody's a pal. Everybody's a friend. Nobody wants to ask difficult questions so many times because there's a beat writers. They're in the locker room every day. And they don't want to be that guy where you feel yourself cut out of the loop. But what happens is you don't do your fans, you do them a disservice by not asking tough questions. You can't just sit there yesterday and not ask him at least ask the question. He may give you a Belichick type answer, but you got to ask the question, what happened in France? Because AB talked about in the show yesterday about the doctor. The doctor was around. Well, it wasn't an accident. There was a doctor there. There was some. He allegedly was at least pre-supervised right before he got into this damn thing.
Yeah.
So what exactly happened? Nobody had the guts to ask him the question. And the problem is because they don't want to be that guy that gets the laser beam shot out of Gruden's eyes into their stomachs. But it really is. It's bad journalism, and it's because everybody wants to be everybody's friend now in the media.
Well, it's
players and coaches.
It's spilled over from college. Yeah. That has been going on in college football for a long time.
Yes.
If you're the only beat reporter in town and you get Urban Meyer mad at you, guess what? You're out of job. You're not going to get any information. And I think the same thing's happening to some of these guys. I think the national guys could get away with it because they're not going to lose their job over it. The local guys,
How do you lose your job by asking a tough question?
Let's say you get on John Gruden's nerves daily, and then he starts, doesn't grant you interviews, and then your job's a nightmare. I see the human element of it. I see what's happening before our very eyes.
But what happens is all the reporters have to band together, sort of, just that you don't let it happen. I mean, we've seen managers and coaches not give any answers till a certain reporter left the room. Sometimes I felt in my life it was justified, and I can't remember specifics, but I know a couple times when someone's like over the top and gets over the top personal, mm-hmm. like Rob Parker got fired from the Lions beat. That's why another reason why I hate him, besides he's a racist. But Rob Parker got fired from the Lions beat back in the day in the 80s because he brought up the fact that one of the coaches there or something, brother-in-law, was a homosexual or something like that. Mm-hmm. And he got personal. Yeah. I mean, this isn't about being personal. This is about asking questions about a player that went to Europe to get a cryotherapy treatment and messed up his feet really, really badly. And I don't see any harm in asking any of these questions. And to challenge him, when you say it was an accident, I would say, how was it an accident? Why was it an accident?
All right, now let me play good cop, bad cop again. Yeah. And I don't disagree with a word you're saying. Mm-hmm. Pete Shepard asked John Gruden, John, what's going on with AB? Well, John Gruden's response is, well, I really support him. It's a bad deal with the foot and the helmet. We support him. But I really don't want to talk about it anymore. And then you follow it up.
I say, John, okay, you don't want to talk about it, but you said it was an accident what happened at the cryotherapy session. Why was it an accident?
Yeah, Pete, again, we're supporting AB, and I really don't want to talk about it. We're moving on. Hopefully we'll get him here for week one. I want to talk about practice today.
Not to be obtuse, we love that word, but you said it was an accident, and there's also been reports that there might be legal issues taking place here. Is that true?
Because it's a legal situation, I really don't want to talk about it. I've told you I don't want to talk about it. I've said all I'm going to say about it.
So that means yes.
I didn't say that, Pete Shepard.
You didn't say no either.
I didn't say that.
Exactly.
Where's my PR guy? Can we get this clown out of here so I can get on with this press conference and get on with my day? I got more important things to do.
So it's a non-denial, denial.
With it. This press conference is over. Talk to
you tomorrow, fellas. So it's a non-denial, denial.
Say what you want. I'm out. That's how it would go. No. That's how it would go. Your questions were perfectly legitimate, but those are the responses he gave back-to-back in the interview at the podium on Hard Knocks.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's how it goes.
You keep digging.
Well, at least you asked the question.
Yeah, you keep it's just ask.
There you go. That was a little lesson in radio 101 right there. Or TV.
That's what you're taught. I didn't go to journalism. Who, what, when, where, why, right? I mean, that's journalism 101. Who, what, when, where, why. You at least have you that's why you're there. Ask the questions. You are there as a liaison from the team to the fans. And I know 90% of the time coaches and players don't give you a whole hell of a lot. I understand that. But you got to at least ask the questions. That's all. Have the guts to ask the question.
Fans want to know if AB is going to be there in week one so we can draft him on a fantasy football team. That's what it's come down to.
That is a big part of it.
By the way, we'll have Kevin Payne on. He's the senior writer at RotoWire at 3:30 today. So we'll get some more questions in as you get ready for your fantasy drafts. And then the 5 o'clock hour, Chris Myers will join us from NFL on Fox and also the preseason TV play-by-play announcer for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as they get ready to take on the Dolphins In fact, they're doing dual practices yesterday and today. Your boy, Preston Williams, is looking good.
Hall of Famer!
He's looking good.
But I tell you, the bad news for the Dolphins, Kenyon Drake left practice yesterday. He may not be ready for week one.
There was a foot issue there.
Yep.
But
he's going to miss the rest of the
preseason. Cameron Wolf just tweeted out that he had two Buccaneers defenders come up to him as, who is number 27? Yep. That, of course, is Kalen Ballage.
Yeah, he's been very
running
good.
Back.
Yep.
Which, if you watched my video, Chris's fantasies last week on running backs, I told you, stay away from Kenyon Drake.
Oh, yeah. All day long.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Running back by committee written all over it.
No, but true. But you want, but it hurts the Dolphins depth-wise. You hope he's back for week one against Baltimore.
Mm. I mean, I don't think
you know, you want Ballage touching the ball 25 times, and maybe it's a good. Maybe
it's,
sometimes
like
these
it.
Things can be.
I'd
a
like to see it.
Hey,
there's
know,
no doubt about it.
In football, you can get Wally pipped. Sometimes this thing can be a blessing in disguise. No
and doubt. I don't want to keep going back on this, but I don't think losing for the Dolphins this year is such a bad thing. I'd like
Chris,
to see some.
Are you tanking for Tua, yeah. or are you winning some games like Brian Flores says?
No, come on. Look, now I don't think we're tanking it. Okay, I don't think the Dolphins are going to be in a position to draft Tua number one overall. I don't think that. I think that they've got too good of a coaching staff, and I like what they did in the draft last year.
Mm-hmm.
And the future Hall of Famer, undrafted rookie free agent, Preston Williams.
Mm. He was undrafted?
Undrafted.
How did those skills... What's his backstory?
How about that?
Where did he go
school? Started off at Tennessee, then went to Colorado State.
What, did he have a problem?
I believe there was an issue at Colorado State, yeah.
That caused him to not be drafted?
Yep. But I'm looking for, what's the word I'm thinking of? Like little wins. Not wins on the scoreboard.
Little baby wins.
But
moral victories.
There you go. But not moral victories as much as, hey, there's a guy that can be on a championship caliber roster.
Yeah.
Let's get
Kiko Alonso off of here.
Okay. Once again, Stu Gott stealing a word from our lexicon
here
on the Sheeman and Shepherd Show.
What did he say?
Throughout the word shekel, which you use all the time, and... Levitard acted like he had never heard the word in 45 years.
Now, shekel.
Not to mention Stugast didn't know how to pronounce Raphael Devers' name and a bunch of other things. And I'm still amazed at how Levitard seems to be confused. And I hate when he does this, when he says, somebody needs when Felina Kimes is going to join us because I can't process what Dak Prescott is all. Oh, I want to.
I love the show.
When he says stuff like that. And you're getting paid what you're getting paid. What do you show up 2 minutes before and walk in and sit down?
I like it. It's entertaining.
It's a bad look. It's a bad look when you tell a national audience, I want
to
be invited by Mina Kimes. I want to know about Dak Prescott. Why is he going to get paid? Well, there's a lot of reasons. If you did just a little bit of research, you'd see some numbers that may be why he's asking for $34 million
no,
a year.
No, but
nobody's going to that show for breaking sports news at 10 o'clock
understand,
in the morning.
I understand.
They're going there to be entertained
I understand all that. I understand all that. But
I like it.
It's all right. Please.
My favorite radio show other than mine.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of it as well. But he's right about it, though.
I go back.
He's right about it. The eyeball test tells you. It's an average quarterback.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
Eyeball test says this is an average quarterback. Yet you dig into the stats.
Yeah, and it looks like winning he's better
percentage,
than Russell, better
and
than
it looks
Wilson
like he's better than
years.
That.
Yeah.
But he wants to understand why does it look like he's an average quarterback, yet you dig a little deeper and the stats tell you something else.
Well, the stats tell you there are a lot of stupid owners and GMs that overpaid quarterbacks who didn't deserve the money. That's the problem.
Can I read to you Jerry Jones's comments about trying to decide how to negotiate? He wants to keep the three players together. He wants to keep the core together. Yeah. Don't want to give too much to one so he can't pay for the other. Here's his analogy to explain contract negotiations. Quote, picture you were a driver of a car and you had a wreck and your hand was almost severed off, but you didn't understand your anatomy. You look down, you're spurting out blood, you open the door, you run into the woods, and you either die bleeding to death or in shock. Now, the educated man looks down, knows his anatomy, squeezes, and knows his best chance is to wait for help. That's because he's been there a lot and done that, so I'm squeezing and waiting for help, quote unquote.
Also sounds like he's ready to pop a zit. When he talks about that stuff. Yeah, I mean, it's
a very
analogy.
Weird analogy, yeah. I'll tell you that.
You know, translation? I hope he pays none of them. I hope he stands his ground, but I know he won't. He's going to cave. He's going to cave to at least Ezekiel, to Elliott at first. But man, would I love to see him go into this. It was I would have become a Dallas Cowboys supporter again if he's just stood his ground heading into week one, even to week two or three, because their schedule's fairly easy.
Well, Wizard of Oz says where it's going to go on. If there's no Zeke, then all of a sudden Dak Prescott looks average, and then Dak doesn't get paid.
That's what we think.
That's what
but
we think.
What, but happens, again, what we, happens if the opposite?
We ran through the first three games on this schedule.
Yeah.
It's the Giants, the Redskins, and the Dolphins. Yep. Like, an average quarterback is going to look good against those teams.
All right, we'll continue to discuss. We've got three more hours on this for sure. First, we got Sound Street right around the corner, and more from the latest around the NFL. And later on, the best mascot in sports, according to Sports Illustrated.
Ooh!
And the best college football state.
I'm going to go Coachella High School.
Based on Fox Sports. We'll tell you what they said. All right. Coachella High School, what's their mascot?
Fighting Arabs.
What?
Look it up, guys. They might have changed it recently, but that has stuck out in my crawl for a long time. Fighting Arabs, Coachella High.
I am pivoting out of that one. Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me.
Who was talking about you?
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Sheeman and Shepard.
Let's start it off with Hard Knocks and HBO. Yesterday, Antonio Brown and his circumcised feet.
You want to see it?
No.
Are you sure you want to see it?
You look like you're walking a little funny.
Yeah, my feet is pretty much getting circumcised, right? All right?
Yeah,
for real.
Like circulation?
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. With the new skin, yeah.
That analogy works.
Yeah, it's not like a pullback right now.
Yeah,
circumcised on my feet, you know. Hopefully my feet born again and I freaking can run faster. Feel sorry for me later. Thank you.
What? What? Okay. Yes.
Humble.
Humble. John Mara, the owner of the Giants, he says in an ideal world, Eli Manning will have a great year and will never see Daniel Jones take the field.
God.
Ideally, how would you like it to unfold for this season and beyond?
I hope Eli has a great year and Daniel never sees the field. I mean, that would be in an ideal world that you'd like to see that. So, again, it's at the end of the day, it's going to be a decision by the head coach as to when, you know, or if Daniel ends up playing this year.
Now, I mean, I know what he means, because if Eli is starting all 16 games, the Giants are probably having an above-average year, surprising a lot of people, blah, blah, blah. But, Mr. Marum, and this is – you cannot get overly sentimental in football, and in the NBA for that matter. You're going to lose badly. You're going to get you got to make a break at some point.
Robert Kraft did it.
Yeah, he's hanging on to that.
No, I'll tell you who did do is the Celtics did it back in the day with the big three, and it cost them dearly for many years.
Didn't you get one more chip out of them?
Not really.
Good job,
no,
Pete. You didn't take the bait right there.
I'm talking about Bird, Magic, and McHale.
I thought for sure I was lighting a fuse.
I thought so, too. Good try, Chris. Nope. John Morrow up to Pat Shermer on whether Manning or Jones plays.
Well, I'd like to be informed of it before I read it from you guys. But at the end of the day, just like it was in 04, it was Tom's decision back then, and it'll be Pat's decision this time. And again, hopefully it's a decision he doesn't have to make until way in the future.
All right, let's go to Jerry Jones. We read you the gruesome quote a moment ago. Here he is talking about all he cares about is doing contracts that help the Cowboys.
My focus is on our team, not where any of these players' contracts are relative to another player. I'm not dealing in the market. I'm dealing with how to fit this team together. And so if the kind of advisor, if I'm listening to advice, is how to get all of these top players under the cap. And so I don't have the responsibility of dealing with the market.
How about them Cowboys?
Do you notice he does the Stewie Griffin?
Well, how? What?
Where?
Oh,
where?
Will Wheaton. Cool Whip. Cool Whip.
Say Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
It's crazy.
So you have to see the episode.
All right, when we come back, we'll have some more NFL news. Chris Ballard, the GM of the Colts, talking about Andrew Luck's injury and whether Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur really do get along. All that coming up. Stay with us. Sheeman and Shepherd on, it's a rough start, isn't it? 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.